Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It is wonderful to be with you this afternoon on a glorious Easter Sunday. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are visiting Unity Church for the very first time. We're really glad that you're here. We hope you all find Unity Church to be a place which helps you find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a life of integrity, service, and joy. It is my pleasure to introduce my co-sabbatical minister, Justin Schroeder, and our director of religious education, Carrie Meyer, who will be assisting me with the service today. Following the service today, there's a special Easter egg hunt for the children in the green space, and the Easter bunny will be there. We get a sneak preview right now. There are plenty of treats for everyone and one special golden egg. Whomever finds the golden egg will get a special Easter prize. Following the service, you are all invited to join us for refreshments in the parish hall. There you can meet new friends and old, visit our book stall, and stop by the information tables. If you are interested in learning more about becoming a member of Unity Church, please visit the welcome table in the parish hall. Our children's and adult libraries are also open after every service and available to you. The libraries are on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. I encourage you to take a look at This Week at Unity Church in your order of service. It serves as a roadmap to deeper involvement in the church. Join us this Wednesday for Wellspring Wednesday. Our featured speaker this week is Alice Neve, Rondo Community Outreach Library Supervisor, who will speak about our new asset, the Rondo Community Outreach Library. This is a new library right in our neighborhood that opened this last September of 2006. Dinner is at 6, worship at 6:45, and the presentation and other offerings begin at 7:15. Come for one part of the evening, or come to it all. This Saturday, April 14th at 9:30 in the morning, we are honored to host David Corton, author of The Great Turning, From Empire to Earth Community, and leader in the anti-globalization movement. He will come to Unity Church as part of the Samuel Morgan Community Forum series. This event is open to the public and free of charge. It is made possible in part by a grant from the St. Paul Foundation. During the month of May, Unity Church will host Project Home, a St. Paul Council of Churches program to provide temporary housing for homeless families in Ramsey County. Please stop by the information table in the parish hall to sign up for a volunteer shift. Your help will make a difference. You all know that April 15th is the tax deadline, but it is also the deadline to sign up for the Unity trip to Transylvania to visit our partner church. If you're interested, please talk to Pat Half or Justin Schroeder. Can death be a gift? What makes for a good death? I'm offering a class, Living for a Good Death, in which we will explore our attitudes towards death and dying, and the tools we need to carry our values and wishes to our loved ones. Classes are 4 Thursdays, starting on May 3rd. Registration is required, class size is limited. Child care is provided by request, with reservation by April 19th. Please contact me if you are interested. Next Sunday, the Reverend Marlon Lavinar of the All Souls UU Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, will be our guest minister. He will be accompanied by the All Souls Children Choir. Today is the deadline to sign up to host the children's choir. We still need places for youth from 8th to 12th grade. Please go to the table in the parish hall directly after the service to sign up to provide homestay space for much-needed hospitality on behalf of our church. Finally, at the conclusion of the service, Justin, Carrie, and I would like to meet you at the Portland Avenue doors. Again, welcome to Unity Church.
We give thanks for life reborn. We give thanks for joy to overcome loss and pain. We give thanks for the earth as it blooms its renewal. We give thanks that all living things are revived. As a sign of our gratitude, we light this chalice to welcome all new songs of life. Come, let us worship together. Please remain standing and join in this responsive reading printed in your orders of service. Easter calls to us out of the mist and fog, out of the melting snow and relentless rain of days past, and says to us,
remember the sun of former days and the testimony of daffodils and forsythia to the golden moments of spring that shall come again.
Easter calls to us out of lost opportunities and forgotten dreams that never came to pass and says to us,
remember that change is forever, that life ever renews itself as its own strength, that new chances and opportunities are given out of the death of the old.
A new self is waiting expectantly to come to birth within you.
To walk the earth once more with eyes that see and ears that hear and hearts that feel the glory and wonder of life again.
Easter calls to us out of the hushed voices and haunting faces of those who have touched our lives and passed on to glories and mysteries we know not of. Easter speaks to us through them and says to us,
remember the dead who are not dead, so long as we have not forgotten. To live on in hearts we leave behind is not to die, but to be reborn in a life that maketh all things new.
Easter calls to us out of the life and teachings of a prophet of long ago, whose form was crucified, dead, and buried, but whose spirit rises up out of the grave and proclaims,
the Lord be crucified, it shall rise again, in a thousand million hearts not yet born, and in whose passion the power of love goes on and on.
Though truth be nailed to the scaffold, it shall rise again, and bespeak itself in a still small voice that shall be heard above the harsh noises and clashing sounds of injustice and oppression.
Though a life of truth and love be shut up in a tomb with the stone sealed in place, it shall rise again, the stone rolled away.
Walking the earth once more with quiet, persistent footsteps. Easter calls to us. Help us to hear it, see it, feel it. Unstop our ears, uncover our eyes, unseal our lips, open up our hearts.
And let our voices sing. Alleluia.
Thank you.
Every Sunday, we set aside time to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together, we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that permeates this sacred place. We celebrate the life and mourn the death of Kendra Garrett's mother, Betty Lou Jones, affectionately called B. Lou, who died at the age of 83. We honor the life of Edwina Dickinson as we grieve our loss. She passed away on April 5th. We pray in sorrow and in support for Tony Borgerding and Jennifer McDermott, who lost their unborn baby at 22 weeks. We rejoice with Jay and Heidi Mastrid at the birth of their son, the grandson of Bill and Katie Gray. He is Augustus William Mastrid, who was born on March 25th. And we joyfully celebrate and congratulate Betsy and Howard Guthman's 55th wedding anniversary on April 5th. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illnesses seen and those unseen, for those who live with addiction, for those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days with courage. We pray for healing. We send our thoughts and our care to Katie Rivard, who has doubled her radiation treatment and chemotherapy in her fight against cancer. She is recovering at home with her husband, Patrick, and would really appreciate a note. May we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. I now invite you to share the names of those people you would like to celebrate, memorialize, or hold in the embrace of this community. For the names which have been spoken, and the names which remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for the lives that have touched ours. And let us pray. Spirit of life, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, the breath that I breathe, you are the source of all that is and that shall be. We are a people who need the spring. We need the greening nature. We need spring hope in our lives as we live and as we die. We want to see that fat greening bulb as holy. We want to believe that like that green bulb, we can push out of our tombs, out of our pain. May our Easter be not a myth, but as real as the green springing forth from the earth. Our human world needs this resurrection. Our planet Earth needs healing. And behold, the seed sprouts. Praise is on our lips. We pray in gratitude for all that is, and we pray in hope for all that might be. Amen, and blessed be.
I sure would like it if some kids would come and join me up here. Come on up, you guys. Alexander, you want to come up? I have a joke for you for Easter. Nora, are you coming up? I have a joke for you for Easter. What's brown and sticky? A stick. Get it? Brown and sticky. So I brought this stick to help me talk a little bit about Easter. This stick came from the apple tree in my own backyard. This is from my apple tree, and I've been watching my apple tree all winter, and I'm a little worried about it. Because if you looked at this stick, does this stick look more dead to you or more alive to you? Looks mostly dead, doesn't it? So I've been worried about my apple tree. I've been thinking, is my apple tree going to have flowers? Is it going to make any apples this year? Because all winter long, and we are at the end of some cold times this winter, all winter long it's looked like this. Have you guys noticed anything else look kind of dead during the winter? What else is looking kind of dead? Harrison, what else? How about your grass? How's your lawn look? Yeah, it's got leaves on it and stuff like that. Leaves are looking dead right now. Anybody else's lawn looking kind of dead? Yeah. Trees are looking dead. I looked at my flower gardens. I looked at my raspberries. Boy, they all look dead. Everything's looking kind of dead. But there's a way to tell whether something is really dead or not. If I wanted to know whether this twig from my apple tree was dead or alive, does anybody know a good way to tell? What do I do? Yeah, you know, this one, I was checking it out because that's the part I was hoping for, and I wasn't seeing any buds. Now, it might be a little early, but you know how else you can tell? You can look at the twigs, and if you see a streak of what color? Can you guess? If you see a streak of green on the inside, it's alive. It's not really dead after all. So my apple tree, even though I'm a little worried about it because it looks kind of dead, it's actually alive. It's alive on the inside. You can tell because there's this life inside, this streak of green. So that makes me want to ask a different question. What's brown and sticky and a miracle? A shark in peanut butter. I was thinking more like this. For what's brown and sticky and a miracle, check these out. You know what these are? These are sticks from an apple tree too. And they had a streak of green inside them. And do you know that when it has a streak of green, something alive inside it, you can bring them inside where it's warm, and all you have to do is put them in a little bit of water, and this happens. Isn't that amazing? It's a miracle. I don't know how this branch here knew how to make these flowers, and I don't know why these flowers have to be so beautiful, but look, this is how it is. These branches, they were even separated from the tree before they got to be this beautiful. So these branches, both the dead ones and the living ones, make me think that we might be able to learn a little something about Easter from them. Because you might remember that Easter is a holiday that we celebrate when we tell the story about Jesus and his life and his death. Now, Jesus, you might remember, is a teacher who lived a long time ago, 2,000 years ago. And he taught wonderful, wonderful things. He said that we should love one another, that we should forgive one another, that if people are poor, if people are sick, if people are imprisoned, we need to care for those people. Wonderful ideas. And in the end, there were so many people who were upset about Jesus' ideas that he died. He was killed. And I bet that his friends were way more worried than I am about my apple tree. Because I think that they probably worried that when Jesus died, all of his great ideas were going to die with him. But the good part of the story is that when Jesus died, his ideas didn't die with him. When Jesus died, part of him rose up again as a whole brand new church. A church filled with ideas about love and about forgiveness and about being brothers and sisters to one another. So, kind of like an apple tree branch that looks like it might be dead on the outside,
There was a streak of green in Jesus' friends and in his ideas that lived on and bloomed into something like these apple branches. And these branches also make me think about our church, because our Unitarian Universalist church is a branch of that same church. And we too have a streak of green inside us, those same ideas about love and about forgiveness and about friendship. And even though our branch might not be connected to that tree that we came from, we're still part of that tree. This is where we came from, and we have lots and lots of beautiful blossoms and lots of fruit. And so I think that it's a nice thing to think about at Easter time, that even though sticks might look dead on the outside, somewhere, if there's a streak of something alive inside, they could bloom and become this beautiful. And so, I'm glad you're here today to celebrate with us the miracle of nature and the miracle of things that enjoy resurrection, that come back to life. So thanks for being here this morning, and happy Easter this evening. It's been a long day.
Those of you who have been worshiping with us for some time know that our offering, 100% of it, goes out the door into the community and the world to live the values of Unity Church beyond our church walls. Today, the offering will go to the Affordable Housing Advocacy Ministry team. This team does all sorts of work for the effort of housing, everything from providing housing to folks who are homeless, to governmental advocacy, to affordable housing. We all are grateful to have homes to go back to after this service, and we are all blessed to call this our church home. I encourage you to give as generously as you are able, that everyone in our community might have a place to call home. Will the ushers please come forward? To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate this, our offering. A reading from the Gospel of Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Our second reading comes from the poet Kim Garcia. Above the snow, a single maple leaf holding forth its dying flame. Among the feats of nature, the wild greening from dry bulb, sour alchemy of rot, a rusty handprint of lichen. The eager space-seeking species springing up after fire, as though they took no lesson from destruction, but to begin again, twice as joyful.
My mother-in-law, Vicky, teaches third grade. She is an excellent teacher, somewhat like the character of Mrs. Frizzle in the Magic School Bus books. Vicky is an avid naturalist, and whenever possible, she brings life to her classroom. Known to her students as Mrs. Schwartz, she brings caterpillars into the classroom so the children can watch them emerge from their chrysalises and turn into butterflies, rather than simply read about the process from a book. They watch real tadpoles transform into real frogs. Her students dissect squid, and they dissect owl pellets, too. One year, Mrs. Schwartz and her colleague, Mrs. Weeks, had 6 anole lizards in their classes for the children to learn about reptiles and the food chain. Now, the lizards needed to eat. In fact, that was a key part of the food chain lesson. These particular types of lizards like to eat crickets. So Vicky and her colleague ordered a supply of crickets. Soon thereafter, a box of 200 crickets arrived from the Carolina Biological Company. Vicky and her friend waited until the school was nearly empty so they could open the box without exciting the children and without losing any of the fast-jumping crickets in the commotion that would certainly ensue. When the time was right, they opened the box. The two teachers were very disappointed to find the crickets had not survived the journey. They thought they had lost their money, and worse yet, the lizards had no dinner. They put the dead crickets in the trash cans, where the custodian would soon remove them, and they went to finish grading their papers and tidying their adjoining classrooms. About 45 minutes later, Vicky heard a rustling in the trash can. As soon as she could look over, the crickets came to life, jumping out of the trash can tomb and into the classroom. Quickly, they were jumping everywhere. She called out to her friend, and the two of them started hopping like mad, trying to catch the crickets that by now had started hopping down the hallway of the school. Resurrection. Apparently, the crickets had been chilled so they'd be dormant during shipping. After about an hour, they had warmed to room temperature and came back to life from their cold sleep. Vicky and her friend managed to catch some of the crickets, but many, if not most, of the 200 made their way from the trash can and wandered, hopping throughout the classroom and the entire school. They continued to live. For many months afterwards, Vicky heard that familiar summer sound, chirp, 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 while teaching. It was a reminder. Life wants to live. Like the crickets, many people may be taken for dead in the middle of their lives. All of us will experience tragedy. All of us experience deep pain. And all of us will experience what UU minister Max Kutz calls the little deaths before our physical death. He writes, "It's the little deaths before the final time I fear, the blasé shrug that quietly replaces excited curiosity, the cynic sneer that takes the place of innocence, the soft, sweet odor of success that overcomes the sense of sympathy, the self-betrayals that rob us of our will to trust, the ridicule of vision, the barren blindness to what was once our sense of beauty. These are deaths that come so quietly, we do not know when we have died. Sometimes we must be rigorously honest to face our dyings. Often, we can't do it alone. The gospel today asks, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? We need one another to help us roll away the stone to face our tombs. It's only when we allow ourselves to enter into the deaths of our lives that we open the door for new life. Living exacts the cost of loss, but with every loss comes the possibility for a new future. This is the Easter story. The seed sprouts from the dung heap, and the spirit of the prophet rises from the grave. Resurrection is the eternal flow of death to life as our planet renews itself, like a mighty ship righting herself after a wave. It's that greening from dry bulb, the sour alchemy of rot, a rusty handprint of lichen. Resurrection is those crickets awakening in the trash can. It's when we face our failures and when we try to live again. And perhaps, more importantly, it's the faith that such a resurrection is possible that makes it so. But in the midst of our dying, this is no easy matter. I believe, Lord, help mine unbelief. It took rigorous honesty for him to face his dying. He didn't see it for a long time. In fact, not many people did at first. He was 22 and already a veteran of foreign wars. He returned home imagining that he'd head vast enterprises and revel in worldly success. Setting to prove that he was important, he and his wife Lois roared off on a motorcycle and sidecar to find their fortune. He took a position on Wall Street, which nurtured his frequent drinking. He lost everything in the stock market crash of 1929, but escaped to the home of a generous friend in Canada, where he and his wife continued to live in their accustomed style. But his drinking caught up with him. His friend had to let him go. He and Lois went off to live off the charity of his in-laws. Soon, he needed 3 bottles of gin just to get through the day. He was climbing into his tomb. Things got worse. They lost the house. The in-laws became sick and died. He had another promising business opportunity, but went on a bender and lost all of his prospects. He asked himself, "Where is my resolve? Am I crazy?" The cycle happened again and again and again. He would steal from his wife's slender purse and descended into madness. He had to sleep on the first floor. He moved his mattress down so he wouldn't jump out the window to end his life. He was an unemployable drunk with a disdain for religion. He went into rehab and fared very well. He was sober for over 3 months. He started to make some money. But then again, he drank once more. Eventually, the doctor told Lois that he had about a year to live before he died of the disease of alcoholism. He was suffering so much, at this point, he welcomed the idea of an end. Fear kept him sober for a while, but that inevitable first drink took him again. It seemed now like the stone was sealed, and he was unable to roll it back on his own, and he resigned himself to die. One day, as he sat planning if he had enough gin to keep him until morning, the phone rang. It was a school friend. He invited him over, hoping to have a drinking company and acceptance from an old drinking buddy, Ebby. That night, he got acceptance and company, but not what he expected. Ebby was sober. Ebby simply said, "I've got religion." He was aghast but curious because Ebby, too, had been pronounced incurable by the doctors. He'd admitted complete defeat. And it was there, in recognizing that empty tomb, that new life sprung forth. Ebby was the person who first budged the stone from his tomb. Some of you may know this story. In fact, it may have budged your own tombstone. This is the story of Bill Wilson, one of the co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is now over 100,000 groups strong and is the foundation for many other successful 12-step programs, which have been the basis for hundreds of thousands, if not more, resurrections. Life wants to live. Like the women in the gospel, we might be terribly frightened when we find the stone rolled away, the tomb empty, and know only we have to search for life again, heaven knows where. Resurrection happens when we see that the tomb is really empty after all, and we decide to look for life elsewhere. When we emerge, blinking our weary eyes in the bright sun, it's then we can be sustained by our belief that life indeed wants to live. We have to act before we see. And perhaps this is why blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. We are blessed when we have faith that can propel us out from the empty tomb and into the world. We may have to look for a really long time without finding much life. And I can't guarantee we'll find it. We all know that resurrection doesn't always come. What appears dead often actually is. Yet, sometimes this knowledge blinds us to the fact that resurrection is possible. I can guarantee that if we leave the tomb, we'll be out living in the world. Life wants to live. We spend a lot of time as Unitarian Universalists distinguishing who we are not. Few of us believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus. Some of us have trouble with this language even when used metaphorically. This makes Easter complex for us. Many of us sit betwixt and between, like the philosopher Simone Weil, at the intersection of the cross, at the intersection of everything that is Christianity and everything that is not. When we need spiritual rebirth, we may prefer to think of the Egyptian goddess Isis lovingly resurrecting Osiris from his death in the Nile River, of the Babylonian god of the harvest, Tammuz, who died young and was rescued from the underworld by his love, Ishtar, or of Persephone and her pomegranate seeds, or of the phoenix, or of Odin hanging from the tree waiting for a new life of wisdom. These stories are relevant. As the Greek statesman Solon said, myth is not about something that never happened. It's about something that happens again and again. Life wants to live. In our attempt to distinguish ourselves from the religious rite, we may relegate the Christian resurrection as irrelevant, but it's more than relevant. It too happens again and again, and it's our story too. We are a creedless faith, so you belong here if you consider Jesus a prophet and rabbi. You belong here if you consider him your Lord and Savior. You belong here if you believe Jesus died and was buried, period. And you belong here if you believe something miraculous happened there in the Holy Land 2,000 years ago. Here we all believe in life before death. The question is, will you rise again? Will you experience resurrection after the inevitable pain that your life holds? To quote the writer Madeleine L'Engle, I believe in the truth of the resurrection, if not the fact of it. I believe in the truth of the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth 2,000 years ago, and I believe in the truth of the resurrection 2,000 years later, today, right here in this holy land, because I've seen it. Life wants to live. Church is where we come for resurrection. The double doors on a church are intentionally wide enough to accommodate a casket and its pallbearers. Every time we walk through those doors, we come into the church in our dyings, large and small. We come into the church in the hope that we will walk back out of those doors changed, for those double doors are also wide enough to accommodate us as we leave, twice as joyful. This is the work of the church. So a singing group called The Resurrection was scheduled to sing at a church. When a big Minnesota snowstorm postponed their performance, the minister had to fix the sign to read, "The Resurrection is postponed." Friends, let us not postpone our resurrection. Easter is the Anglo-Saxon goddess of the dawn, where the sun rises in the east again and again. With every dawn, may we remember that what happened once upon a time happens all the time. Eastertide is the season when we choose innocence to again replace our cynicism. It's our will to trust despite betrayal. It's the hopeless addict finding new life. It's the curiosity that again replaces the blasé shrug. It's those crickets awakening in a third-grade trash can. It's the space-seeking species springing up after a fire. It's all of these. It's you and it's me resurrecting as we took no lesson from destruction, but to begin again, twice as joyful. May it be so for all of us. A happy and blessed Easter to you all. Amen.
Thank you.
Each morning we awake grants us a reprieve. The tomb is no place to stay. Resurrection is always possible when we're granted yet one more day of living. And may we begin again today, twice as joyful, because life wants to live. May you go forth in peace and a happy and blessed Easter to you all. Amen.